Quick little note, Paul Fussy will not be joining us today. He is out on some personal leave. Mary will be doing the operations management overview. So at this time, I'd like to start the meeting and call the roll. Mary?
Hold on a minute. Okay. For roll, I have in the room Scott Nelson, Lieutenant Enders, myself, Mitch Vanistock, Scott Sormo. Then online, I have Tammy Goshu-Cockrell, Staff Sergeant Martucci, John Rocco, Caitlin DeHart, Deputy Chief Keith Farian, Carl Edwards, Jim Goodman, David Reed, Donnie Lane, Paul Markoris, Pete Summers, Rick Rambo, Robert Rigadio, and Billy Clyde. Did I miss anybody?
Hi, Mary. Kyle Green up here in Fairbanks is joining us, joining you guys today.
Thank you. Still does not give us a quorum.
Thank you very much, Mary. Are there any introductions to guests or new members? Hearing none and skipping the approval of the February meeting minutes. But before we go on, were there any questions or comments regarding the meeting minutes that anybody would like to bring up in this meeting? Hearing none, we could move to the second agenda item, which is a review of the issues and risk log. Mary, could you give us a brief update on the risk active issues and risk log?
Yes, I can. I assisted Erin Kawara with her search for the new Southeast User Council alternate representative by sending emails out to all the Southeast member agencies on February 18th. And that is the only new information I have for the issues and risk log. Having any questions?
Thank you, Mary. Are there any questions concerning the issues and risk log? Moving to the action items list then. Mary, could you please provide an update?
Paul stated that we met with the Alaska Power Association and they have to talk with their boards. And we have not heard anything back from them as of yet.
Very good, Mary. Any questions regarding the action item statuses? Hearing none, Ms. Burnham, would you please provide the OMO updates at this time?
Yes, sir. As far as training, just a reminder that the YouTube channel is available at youtube.com and then the @ Alaska LMR. And we encourage users to subscribe for the video updates and the ALMR website, alaskalandmobileradio.org, has the same content. Under outreach, we are working with the Alaska Native Medical Center on becoming a member. They are currently a member of AWARN, but they're getting new radios and they want to be part of ALMR. We have been meeting with the Juneau Police Department regarding their update. David Reed was able to find a solution for the two remote dispatch laptops. David, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Not at this time. The approval for that is still going through the line, so.
Thank you. I am still working on sending out emails to all the member agencies to confirm their point of contact information is still correct. This is the initial phase of creating new membership agreements. I have sent the emails out to all DOD, all federal non-DOD, and all state of Alaska agencies. So if you, and then I'm working on all the rest, and I've sent out about half of those. So look for an email from me, and please send me an email back, even if you don't have any corrections to make. As far as systems upgrade, the quarterly security patching was conducted on February 24th to the 26th. We activated Time Division Multiple Access, TDMA, for DPS in the Matsuburo and Kenai Peninsula. There were major code plug programming issues for DPS, USFS, and KNWR. APSCS sent a team down to the peninsula to update the radios and is working in the Matsuburo. We are working with the dispatch center and all the commanders during this testing. For February document reviews, we reviewed the strategic and operational plan and the service level agreement. Any questions before I move on to metrics? All right. Hearing none, for the February calls was 1,781,044. Push to talks were 2,710. Hold on one second. Not used to doing two things at once, I guess. Push to talks were 2,710,973. Okay. Monthly busies were 1,137. The sites below 39 were 8. The reasons for those were 3 PMIs were conducted at Cottonwood Creek Fire Station 12. There was unstable power at Corey Hill, which affected Hill 3265, Full Hill, and Corey Hill. The site coverage impacted by unstable power that were not below 39 were there were some aisles and consoles D5 through D10 that were impacted. The subscriber count, as you can see, the state of Alaska was 9,453. The DOD was 8,596, which actually they went down 592 units. The Alaska Municipal League was 11,938, and the federal non-DOD is 1,894. And as you can see, what the total for the month is 31,881, which is down 542 from last month. Any questions before I move on to other? Okay. I have completed the first draft of the cost share airtime calculations. I have to I do a second draft before I send out any information about that to the members. The February offsite security audit was completed on February 9th. Scott and some of his engineers will be at the IWCE March 15th to the 20th, along with one of the SMO's technicians. Paul will not be attending. The 2026 Emergency Management Conference goes from March 31st to April 2nd in Anchorage. That information is on our website. And my last thing is that my last day with ALMR, Watson & Associates, will be May 29th, 2026. I will be moving to the lower 48. If you know of anyone in the Anchorage commuter area, that would be a good fit for the ALMR document specialist position. Have them go to either the Watson & Associates website, careers, ALMR document specialist, or search Indeed for the ALMR document specialist, Anchorage, Alaska. And that is all I have, pending any questions.
Mary, thank you so very much for the updates. Are there any questions with the OMO office? Well, let's move on to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office overview. I'll be turning it over to Mr. Nick Vanenstock. Nick?
Thanks, John. First, I want to start off with kind of what Mayor talked about with the TDMA issues and DPS. I want to, you know, we talk about this all the time. Those programmers that are out there, if you happen to know programmers, you know, we're humans. We make mistakes. It's understandable, but definitely try to, you know, for lack of other terms, pay attention to detail when it comes to that part of it. A simple little, you know, checkbox or a mistyped number can make or break that radio really easily. So if you happen to know programmers, like I said, just let them be aware to take extra precaution and double, triple check the work. PMIs are going pretty well. It's coming springtime. We're going to start picking up, you know, slowly. The weather's not being very cooperative in some areas right now, but it is going to be start picking up more and more here as we get into spring and then into summer. I appreciate everyone's patience with us and getting these done. You know, this is an annual thing that has to be done to ensure that the equipment stays in tip-top shape and, you know, there aren't any antennas that are hanging off the towers. Then I think that's actually all I've got to add. I was thinking there was one more thing, but I don't have anything written down, so that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nick. Are there any questions for Nick with the SMO office? Or I'm sorry, SMO office. We can move on then to some of the other user council updates, and we can start with the State of Alaska and the Department of Defense overviews. Scott Stormo.
Thanks, Don. Just want to add a little bit to what Nick said. I think part of the challenge with migrating to TDMA is we are doing a live turning on talk groups. And if you didn't have a talk group to try out until that, before that point, you probably had no way to know if your radio was programmed correctly. So we're going to do some internal chat and then see if maybe we can make find a way to make a couple of TDMA test talk groups. So if people are programming radios, they can maybe put that in and switch to it to check them, or they can check it before we actually go live with their operational talk groups. So we'll do some more conversation about that, see if we can help catch that stuff before they go live. Other than that, I don't know if was Tim on today. I don't know if anybody has talked about this or not for the, but on the Quarry Hill site, my understanding is that the battery plant is failed up there. So every time the power drops, the site drops. faster than a generator can start if there is a generator there. And when that happens, it's shutting down, obviously, all the equipment that was getting served by that battery plant. But it is also knocking down most of the console sites that are running back through Quarry Hill and the two other RF sites that are out. Now, the console sites and the RF sites are not losing power like is happening at Quarry, but a battery plant is not that expensive to swap out. I think I counted like 160 times that thing was dropping when we had a windstorm or so a couple of weeks ago. That's a lot of time. You know, that's a lifetime of power cycles on some of that equipment happening in a couple of days. So there's a risk of damaging some expensive equipment there that I think would make it worth arguing for a new battery plant before that happens. Other than that, I do not have anything else for the group.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the update. I heard that Tim is not with us, so we can move on to user council representative updates. The SOA component, starting with DPS, I have nothing to add at this point regarding the Anamar system and radios. The only thing I would like to add is we are faced now with FFY 26 and 27 budgets. And if anybody has any influence regarding budgets, legislative actions, and or endorsements, please help us out. Thank you. We can move on to other DPS components. I didn't hear if Ben was here. Lieutenant?
He was here, but he stepped out into the hallway.
Okay. Then we can move on to DOT. Any updates from DOT?
I don't have Ms. Schumpert on the, unless she joined after.
How about all others? We have Mr. Nelson and Carl Edwards. Scott?
Scott, I have nothing to add.
Okay. How about you, Carl?
And this is Carl. I have nothing to add either. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Moving on to the DOD component, we'll start with the U.S. Army installations.
Unless someone has joined afterwards, I do not have any in attendance.
Okay. And we can move to Jay Bear.
Hi, this is Caitlin. I have nothing new at this time.
Thank you, Caitlin. And Ielson.
So just an update for the battery plant. We sent the details to the PICI contract, and we're just waiting to hear back from them to get that purchased.
Thank you very much. Is there any anticipated ETA for that?
No. Not as of this moment.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Moving to the federal non-DOD components, do we have anybody from DOJ?
Nothing from the FBI.
Thank you very much, sir. DOI or all others? The next component is municipal component, and we can start with Central. Any updates, Tammy?
I do not have any updates for the group today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Jim, how about you?
Not today.
All right. Going to North, we have Chief Berrion and Fire Marshal Green. Any updates?
This is Keith. I believe Kyle's got an update for you.
Well, Kyle always has an update for us. Excellent.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle Green here. Good to hear from everybody. I've been off for a little bit handling my normal duties as assigned. But one of the tertiary duties I just wanted to share, I have been working with a couple components here at UAF to begin the ability to leverage Smart Connect. I'm learning quite a bit, one of which has been the different language and terminology used between the different modes of connectivity. So the internet engineers for in-building typical stuff versus how things work on the cellular side versus how things work on the radio side. We've been hammering away at learning more about that across all these different disciplines and working toward potentially having some in-building connectivity utilizing the Smart Connect connection through ALMR. I have not learned enough yet to begin to propose any policies around utilization of Smart Connect by user agencies, but I hope to and look forward to future possible discussions about that. Open to any questions anyone might have about what I've learned so far.
Thank you, Kyle. I know that we really appreciate all the work that you're doing. The exciting, you know, prospect of supplementing ALMR with some of the other newer technology is definitely worth the squeeze. So again, we appreciate your effort. Before we go on to the Southeast, Rob, you had a question. You had your hand up for a moment.
No, I think I got it answered. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So moving to the Southeast, Aaron, anything going on Juneau?
Aaron is not on the call today, but since DOJ answered, you now have a quorum. And I don't know if I didn't hear anybody from DOI or the all others for the federal non-DOD. Were any of those people on?
Well, hearing none, before we go to new business, Mary, I would like to go back up to the agenda for February. Thank you very much, Mary. I would like to have everybody review and approve the February meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review them at their leisure. Thank you, Mary, for always sending them out and waiting for information back before you publish. At this time, I would entertain a motion to approve the February meeting minutes.
Scott Nelson, motion to approve.
Thank you, Scott. May I have a second, please? John Rockwell will be the second. Oh, I just cut someone off. I'm sorry. Who was that?
No, this was fine. It's John Carina. Going to motion to approve.
Oh, thank you very much. So floor is open for any issues or discussions or questions regarding the meeting minutes for February. Hearing none, we'll approve the February meeting minutes. Thank you, Mary, very much for indulging me. Going back down to the next agenda item, which is new business. Any new business that anybody would like to bring up? Wow,
well, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, it's Kyle Green.
Yes,
yeah, I wanted to, it might be a little bit too early to begin this conversation, but maybe it's worth planning in people's mind. I want to point out that December 31st, 2026 was the date set by, I believe, the user council for the target TDMA changeover, and conversation seems to be warranted eventually about whether or not that date should be amended, taking into consideration funding challenges that all of our vast different agencies have experienced in this transition. I'm just throwing that out there for discussion if you are interested in that, Mr. Chair.
Kyle, thank you very much for bringing up that very important issue. Yes, we do have a target date for the end of the year for the TDMA transition. But as you mentioned, budgets are tight. There's issues regarding technology. There's issues that are unforeseen. And so even though we do have the goal, and I would like it to continue to be the goal, we will not be kicking anybody off the system. I want to make sure that we stress that it is imperative that we continue pushing forward aggressively with the TDMA transition. I think I could speak for most of the technical folks on the call. The benefits of TDMA are vast. The system is upgraded to accept it. We have been having extreme luck in all the testing that we've been doing. Basically, it gives us the ability to double the number of channels in the system, you know, minus one control channel per site. And so, you know, there's great benefits, but even with that said, we still have to be cognizant of budget issues, timing, and such. I mean, just looking at the three major owners of the system, even the budget year is different. You know, federal ends the end of September. The municipality ends the December 31st. We end June 30th. You know, and so even putting those together, it's difficult to make sure that everybody's on the system. So, Kyle, I do appreciate you bringing it up. I do also want to stress the fact that we are pushing as aggressively as we can to meet that date, but we also understand that there are going to be different components within the environment that will not be able to meet that date. And I want to assure you that we are not going to be turning anybody off. Floor is open for other discussion or questions.
John, there is a message in the chat, and it looks like somebody has their hand up as well. And I can't view them unless I get out of the screen.
I see Kyle still having his hand up. Now it is down. And in the chat, let me go to the chat.
And you should be able to just click on that.
Yeah, I don't see any, let's see, new messages in the chat. It says, Ryan is on a basic otter plan with 30-minute meetings. Okay. thank you very much.
Yeah. John, this is Scott. It's not exactly related to that topic, but I want to add this because it's probably not obvious to everyone. There are several models of TDMA-capable radios, in particular the earlier Apex models when they first came out, that are also end of life and out of support. So some of the earliest 6500s, I think some of the 7000s, I think maybe have hit the no longer support. So there's a lot of people that have radios that may be TDMA capable and think they're in good shape. You're in good shape for TDMA, but you're using a radio that, you know, is beyond the manufacturer support. So these are, with all the new technology that has come about, these aren't, you know, our father's radios. They don't last 20 years anymore. There's too much software involved in them, too much global manufacturing supply chains that don't stick around for 20 years. So I just wanted to bring that up because there's probably, you know, there's the life cycle of a radio. If you get 10 years out of it, you've stretched it. So.
Thank you, Scott. That is very true and accurate. And I do know that we've all gone beyond the support life on utilizing our radios. There are balances for that. But as Scott pointed out, the more we advance in technology, the more the technology is, I don't want to say delicate, but it's prone to other issues that we didn't think about just in the analog world. I mean, it's like when I talk with 911, you know, folks, and they talk about, you know, cutting copper and going with, you know, IP and all this kind of stuff. And that's great. That means we can expand the environment. It's easier to tunnel, all this kind of stuff. But you can't get better than, you know, two copper wires going to a phone. Same thing with as we're advancing the technology of the land mobile radio systems. And I mean everything from the controllers to the radios to the antennas to, you know, everything involved, which is so complex that we do have to be more on the leading edge than we have in the past. So, Scott, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate, you know, the delicacy of that. Any other questions, comments? We're still in new business, but I think the topic is extremely warranted. Yes, Mary.
Did Kyle have more to add? And I also see that Zoe has her hand up.
Thank you. I guess we'll go to Carl first and then Zoe second.
Mr. Chair, this is Kyle Green. I wanted to add that I appreciate your message there. I appreciate getting on the record, and I wholeheartedly agree there's no need to be kicking folks off the system. That's not the intent. And some communication outside of this body, be it from this body or even in coordination with the Executive Council, to our member agencies to continuing to encourage them to prioritize their radio upgrades would be, I think, welcomed. You know, especially as we're navigating uncertain budget futures, the communication aspect to all of our missions are very important, and the ALMR side of it is cornerstone. So I hope to by bringing this up provide that space necessary to have these conversations about what that communication could look like, and have a good conversation about whether that date should be adjusted in light of these realities. So thanks again for bringing it up, and I look forward to the continued conversation.
Thank you, Kyle. And moving on to Zoe.
Yeah, hi. So for those of you guys that don't know me, I am the federal Motorola rep for Alaska. I know you guys were talking about some of the life cycle radios. If it's helpful, I can shoot over a list of the model radios and where they're at and as far as like the life cycle plan, which ones are out of support and no longer sold. If that's helpful, I can get that out to somebody.
Scott, would that be helpful for you, or do you already have it?
Well, I know how to get to it, but I think if you can provide some kind of document that we could post on the ALMR website under the radios, that would be helpful, or they'd even be able to mark these as out of end of life or out that you've got on the list. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll work on that list, and then if you guys shoot me I can send this over to Scott and Tim, or if there's a specific contact you want me to send this over to, just pop that in the chat, and I get that out this week.
Right. If you get it to me, I'll get it to them.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Thank you, Zoe. Anything else on this topic? Any other new business? I'm going to announce the next meetings, which is scheduled for April 1st and May 6th. Anything else before I ask for a motion to adjourn? Hearing none, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn at this time.
Scott Nelson, motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Scott. And a quick second. Peter Summers, thank you so very much. I appreciate you seconding that. Oh, yes, Mary?
Can Peter? He's not actually one of the council members.
Then I will make the second, Mary. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This one.